I like to preach about this.
Peter said there'll be scoffers and mockers in the last days. Yeah, we see them all over, including American Christians. Scoffers and mockers in the last days. What did Peter say that they would scoff and mock about? The flood. He said in the last days they would laugh about the flood. Did you know the flood is the most laughed at and scoffed thing in the Bible? Is the flood account? Mockers in the last days lie and mock about God's word, where God judged the world with water. He's going to judge again with fire. He won't use water. The rainbow is the symbol of God's promise to never flood the earth. It's not a symbol of a pride movement. They stole that. The rainbow is God's promise to not flood the earth with water. But he is going to bring judgment and fire. And the only way you can avoid the judgment and fire that Christ is bringing, 2 Thessalonians 1, is find the love, grace, and mercy of God. How do you find the love, grace, and mercy of God? You turn from your sin. You come out of the world. You come out of your false church systems like Roman Catholic, Lutheran, Baptist that are deceiving you. And you open the Holy Scriptures to walk in spirit and truth, and your heart and mind is transformed by the renewing of your mind, and you can walk in the perfect will of God. What a glorious thing to walk in the will of God and warn our neighbors that you're wasting your life. You're wasting your life living it for the culture, living it for the flesh. The Bible says you can't please God in the flesh, neighbor. So we love you enough to warn you. Don't live your life in the flesh. Don't seek after the culture's entertainment and flesh. Seek Christ in spirit and truth. He's so glorious and worthy to be lifted up and praised today. Yet American churches and the culture trample him. They follow entertainment more than they follow the word of God. Don't trample the blood of Jesus Christ. Open the Bible. See what an enemy of God you are as you live like the world. And turn. Repent. Change your mind. Change your ways. Come out of your false church systems. Come out of your pride and vanity. Come out of all your sin and every false way. Come out of your I'm living for me life. That's rebellion against God. The number one sin God hates, well, I guess not number one. There's a bunch he hates. Hypocrisy and pride, which brings rebellion. Hypocrisy, my breath goes up to the Lord. It don't matter if you're listening. It goes up to the Lord. It don't matter if you're listening. Pride and rebellion was Satan's fall. Pride and rebellion was Eve's fall. Pride and rebellion was Adam's fall. Pride and rebellion was my fall. Until I repented and said, I'm not going to live in sin and iniquity anymore. I'm not going to live in false ways. I'm not going to keep false man-made traditions. I'm going to study the Word of God. I'm going to be led by the Holy Spirit. And guess what it does? It makes your life disappear, and it makes Christ magnify in you. Is that not true? Can I get a testimony from a true saint? Him in you transforms you, and your life is taken away, and you become a slave, a doulos, to serve Jesus Christ in spirit, in truth. Don't waste your life on worldly pursuits, folks. Don't waste your life on that which is fleeting, the culture and entertainment and sports and politics and hobbies and 401ks. It's all fleeting away. Set your heart, your life, your mind on that which is incorruptible. And these things of the world are corruptible. And that's why we're out here to warn you.
I studied the Bible. We're with an E-free church, just because I believe in supporting the church. because we need a body of experts.
Who is the church?
Evangelical free.
No, I'm sorry, sir. Not your church. According to the Bible, so when we say the word church, my wife used that word ekklesia. It means in Greek called out ones. So who is the true, if you want to talk about it, who is the true body of Christ according to Jesus and the scriptures? Not you or me. According to the scriptures, who is the true body?
The body of the Bible is God.
Okay. But who is his true body? What's their characteristics?
You're talking about the Holy Spirit?
Jesus? I mean, I'm just waiting for you to give me any answer, what you would think. There's many answers, but what's the characteristics of his body? Can anybody say they're his body? Let me ask you a question. Can Jehovah's Witnesses say they're the body of Christ?
I think we're all a body of Christ.
Do you think they are?
The Jehovah's Witness?
Yeah.
Well, I disagree with their concept of Christ.
Okay, they don't believe Christ is God. I went around rebuking them today in love. Okay, so they're not the body of Christ.
No.
Because of sin. Yeah. They're not born of the Spirit. If they don't believe Jesus is deity, how can they be born of his Spirit?
What I don't understand is how some of the other people from different religions come to that religion, and then they've got to change their views of Christ.
Well, they changed the Bible. They've made up a New World Translation. So here, let me bring you to the crux of what I was saying. You said EFCA, Evangelical Free Church of America. That is it's a denomination. They say they're non-denomination. It's a denomination like all the rest of them. And what I would like you to do is think about who is the body of Christ and how do you become the body of Christ? You become the body of Christ via the gospel, and that is the shed blood of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And his death, burial, and resurrection for the forgiveness of sins and defeating death. We're not getting any younger, right? We're getting older. We're going to die one day.
Sadly, yes.
Unless we're here when he returns, we won't face physical death. But most of us are going to face physical death. He's coming at the end of the tribulation, by the way. There is no pre-trib rapture. And a lot of the non-denoms, and they teach pre-trib rapture. That just is not in the scriptures anywhere.
A lot of controversy.
Yeah, well, it's not. Jesus said he's coming at the end of the tribulation.
Right.
So, but by the shed blood of Jesus through repentance. We were of the world, and we were partiers and all types of sinful things, and we had to repent. When you repent, you turn from what you were to become what you are, which is a child of God. And when God says, and nobody in the churchianity systems really ever discuss this, they all believe that anybody can believe in Jesus and become a child of God. That's not true. The Bible says in Acts 5, I think it's verse 32, I think it is, God gives the Holy Spirit to just anybody who believes in him. Doesn't say that. To those who obey him.
Right.
That's what it says.
Right.
So by faith and repentance to obey God, you have to come to a place in your life where you go, my way's not right. The world way isn't right. I look at my church, a lot of what they're doing is not right. God, I want all your way. And when that happens, you can be born from above. That's born again. So I'm walking you through the gospel. It's on that card. Faith, repentance, faith in Christ, repentance, born from above. Now the fruit you're born of. You walked up and said, you go to E-Free Church. I'm assuming you claim to be a Christian. And I'm not going to question whether you're born again or not. Your fruit will tell this as you go from this place. It's not that I go to church that makes me a Christian. It's not that I just believe in Jesus that makes me a Christian. I got news for you. Satan goes to church. Satan believes in Jesus. Satan started all these churches. There's 40,000 denominations.
Satan goes in out of heaven too.
He does. That's what I mean. So that's not the characteristic that makes you a Christian. Jesus said, we live by every word of the mouth of God. There's one body. I always say this. There's one body. There's one word. There's one Lord. There's one Spirit. There's one Savior. But there's 40,000 denominations. Something's not right.
And I understand.
And EFCA is one of them. In love. So let me finish the gospel. Faith, repentance, you're born again. The fruit that you're born again is you've obeyed God. He gave you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit in John 16 says, Jesus said, he will come and he's going to teach you a little truth. Doesn't say that.
Let me finish.
He's going to teach you half truth. Doesn't say that. You know what it says the Holy Spirit's going to teach you? All truth. John 16. And so if you truly are born of God and you've been this way for any period of time, if somebody's 2 weeks into it, I get it. If somebody's 6 months into it, I get it. I'm talking to men. I just had a good conversation with Pastor Donna. They've been in the faith for 30 years and they haven't tested to see what's true. The fruit that you're born of God is your life is now overtaken by the pursuit of the kingdom of God. Matthew 6:33, not just Sunday church that God never ordained, not just an hour and a half religious service.
Every day.
That God, it's every day, and your life is overtaken by it, and your life becomes a living marker of holiness and obedience in line with the scriptures and the doctrines of God. And the last part of the gospel, are you married?
We are.
Okay. Do you have to endure in your marriage?
Do we have to what?
Endure.
Endure what?
Endure. Can you mess it up tomorrow?
Could you mess it up?
Yeah, oh yeah, I mean, if we were in our flesh, we'll mess it up. But either one of us could run off with someone else, right? So we have to endure. Good, good. We have to endure in a saving faith. So that's the gospel. And if that gospel happens to you, when you have the Holy Spirit, you'll begin to test everything, including every word I'm telling you and every word on my website. I got thousands of articles for free. You'll test it. And you know what will happen? You'll find out that the EFCA keeps a lot of false ways. Like Christmas, like Easter, these are Roman Catholic holidays, like mingling the world with their faith. You can't be of the world and of Jesus. And you'll test, and you know what you'll have to do. What's your first name?
Bill.
Terry and Bill. I'm two posts. This is my wife's sister, Amin. I call her sister. She's my sister. You'll come out, and you know what Jesus says? If you love me, will you lose everything you have? Meaning, let's say you're a lawyer. I don't know what you are or were. So let's say you're a lawyer. Huh?
I'm just retired.
Okay. Let's say you were a lawyer, and man, I make a ton of money. But I got to be dishonest to do it. I got to be dishonest to do all that. Jesus says, give that up for me. What if your family is EFCA, Baptist, Lutheran, Catholic, and you go, I'm following Jesus biblically, and they go, you're joining a cult. You're crazy. And you know everything. No, everything I'm going to believe is in the Word. We've been keeping a bunch of false ways. We're keeping denominations. None of this is of God. You'd have to be willing. Jesus said, if you're not willing to lose your father, your mother. And a lot of Christians don't know this. They look at the street preacher. I just got called and they say, you're divisive. And I say,
I am.
Oh yeah, they call me divisive because I'm preaching the truth. And I said, thank you, I am. You know why? What did Jesus say he came to do? In Matthew 10, he said, I come to bring a sword to divide. And guess what I'm here to divide? I'm here to divide you and this lovely couple out of the world and out of the false EFCA
into my kingdom.
God, that's what I come to divide. And so I do divide from Satan and from the culture. The Bible tells us that. And that's why Jesus was arrested, killed, hunted down. That's why all the disciples were arrested, tortured, killed. If I preach a message that everyone is pleased by, do you really think I'm preaching the kingdom of God?
Right. No, I get it.
Yeah.
Test
everything that you believe. And I know the EFCA well. And you're going to find they keep a lot of false ways. And the Bible says you can't be united to false ways.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what. Let me tell you a little something about my church. All we do is study the Bible. Okay? We don't study anything else.
Right.
The pastor doesn't sit up front and bring in his own opinion about the Bible. I've learned more. I used to be a Lutheran.
Yep. Okay. My wife was a lifelong Lutheran.
Yeah, and I never learned anything there. I went there, I think, twice a year. I got there Christmas and Easter like everybody else. But then I joined this church about 7-8 years ago, and I actually picked up the Bible and started reading it, and my life changed.
Right.
And it does,
that's awesome.
And you got to learn to die, and I fall short every day.
Can I challenge one thing? You took a good step. And I definitely would say the EFCA is a good step from Lutheranism. I don't know what brand you were, but there's some more corrupt than other ones. But don't stop. Because what I'm here to tell you now is there's another step from the EFCA to the set-apart ecclesia. And when that happens, and I can see, I'm not judging you, but Jesus said you know a tree by its fruit. Hopefully you walk away and you go, wow, those people we met. And I hope you run to our website. I hope you listen to every word I said. And I hope you judge.
I think it's applaudable.
I hope you judge us by our fruit. Well, I have to judge you by your fruit and tell you that what your body hasn't done is when you become the temple of God, it changes everything. And it actually changes how you live. It changes how you view the world. It changes what you do with your time. Yeah, it changes how you dress. It does. The Bible actually teaches us.
Tell me about yourself.
Tell me what?
Where do you guys live? How do you live?
We travel full time. If you drive around the corner, there's a white camper van. That's our house. We sold everything we owned to do this. I retired early to do this.
What'd you retire from?
I was in sales, and then we owned our own business, and we had houses and properties that we used to buy and fix up and sell. And I decided that all of that were like idols in my life because I have to die and leave it all behind. I sold everything to go out in the world, and people said to me, man, you left everything. You left a beautiful homestead in Missouri. I owned a whole valley. And they said, you left it. And I said, yeah, I did. And I said, in my flesh, I didn't want to. but because it was peace and safety. We left. We were traveling in the middle of COVID. We're driving around in COVID. There's nobody in the streets. We're holding gospel signs going, fear God, not a virus. And I'm looking at my wife going, what are we doing
what
out here?
What changed you?
Huh?
What changed you?
The gospel.
Reading the gospel?
The gospel. Being born again.
Was there something in your life that caused a...
No. Okay, I'll give you my...
You're clearly focused, both of you guys.
Well, we're different than the world because the Holy Spirit. We're driven by the Holy Spirit.
And that's too bad you are different than the whole world.
It's too bad?
It's too bad you are. You shouldn't be a standout. You get me?
It is good. I'm glorifying God we stand out from the world.
I get it.
Oh.
You get it? Everybody should be where you are.
Oh. I get what you're saying. Well, yeah. And
if
I'm hoping...
If we were all Christians, we wouldn't need... Well, police, we wouldn't need the military.
Yeah, I get that. But you asked about my testimony. Basically, long story short, I heard an assemblance of a gospel when I was 18. It wasn't a biblical gospel. It was in a church system. And I knew who Christ was. And it changed me forever. But I ran from God. I saw all their hypocrisy. I judged God because of them, and that was wrong. I ran. I went into the world. For 20 years, I lived as a worldly man doing business, and her and I both, we were worldly, carnal. We were partiers. I was a drunk and a fighter and a hunting, fishing, football, ice hockey, idolater. I was. People look at us, and they think we're born this way. I said, we weren't born this way, but by the Spirit of God. 15 years ago, I was a salesman, and I decided I had run from God long enough, and I said, I'm repenting. And I'm going to follow Christ with all my heart. And I came home and I thought I might lose my wife. And I said, I'm repenting. I'm going to follow Christ with all that I am. And my wife said, what are you talking about? I'm a Lutheran. I believe in Jesus and God. And she will tell you, if she shares it with women all the time, she was a raging feminist. We had a lot of issues in our relationship because she was a feminist. I was a stubborn man and just constant fighting. I knew there's no way I'm going to talk her into the kingdom. I told her, ready? You must be born again. And I gave her a Bible. And she went reading the Bible, and I went following the Lord, and about a week, wasn't even a week later, a few days, and she came back, and she was a little bit upset with me. And I said, why are you mad? She goes, you knew all this. And I said, what? She goes, I didn't even know what the Bible said. I grew up in the Lutheran church. We never read the Bible. She said, you knew if we don't repent and we're born again, we're going to die in our sin and go to hell. And I said, yeah, I did know it all these years. She's like, why didn't you tell? What? I said, how could I? I was a hypocrite. I wasn't ready to live for God. What am I going to tell you? Repent while I'm living in sin. Within 2 weeks, we were born again, and we decided to set our feet on Christ and his word and truth and nothing else. Not man-made religion, not what I think, what she thinks, what you think, what you think. What does the word of God say? And I'm holding my phone because I use it as the word of God. And that's what we did. And here's the glorious thing. I boast all the time in Christ. The first year that we became Christians. She left the Lutheran church. I wasn't even going to a church at the time. The first year that we became Christians, within the first year with no one helping us, not a pastor, not any seminary trained men, not even a body of believers because we saw all the hypocrisy. We got to 95% of the teaching and doctrine that I teach today on my website 15 years later. In the first year, how? By studying everything. We had, okay, I see you wearing a wedding ring, and I'm not judging you. We wore wedding rings. One day, I came home, and I said, we were testing everything. I said, why did we wear wedding rings? And she said, what? I said, it's right there. It's on my finger all the time. I drive, I play with it.
I know where you're going.
I said, why do we wear those? She goes, well, let's find out. And my wife...
She doesn't.
Okay, I noticed. My wife was willing, and she said, let's look into it. And we found out that God never ordained it. We actually believe that people shouldn't ordain their bodies and wear jewelry. We actually found out it's a pagan thing. It started by the pagans. The Christians have brought all these pagan things in. And so we said, done, and got rid of that.
Oh, I get to take off my ring now?
This is just an example of one thing. We learned that about Halloween, Christmas, and Easter.
Halloween.
These are pagan holidays handed down by the Roman Catholics.
Yeah.
And the evangelicals, the EFCA, keeps them. And they'll tell you, well, Jesus accepts it because we put his name on it. In Mark 7, he says, if you keep vain man-made traditions, that's the Roman Catholic faith, that's Christmas and Easter. He said, you're worshiping God in vain, Jesus said. So you will have to leave all of that. And what it will cost you is there's no way you're going to change the EFCA. You're not. If you change that body, you call me, we'll become their best workers. What you're going to do is you're going to have to leave, get your life in full order, and then you can speak into those people's lives and say, come, let me tell you, we're keeping sin here and false traditions. Jesus said we can't do that if we're his disciples. We can't keep homosexuality, right? No. But what about one lie like Christmas? That's a sin too. So we've raised these things in the evangelical church. Homosexuality is bad and it is sinful. Abortion's bad, it is sinful. Getting drunk is bad, it is sinful. How about when we dress in pride and vanity? The Bible says in Proverbs 6, that's an abomination to God. What it says. And so my loving plea to you, this has got a point, and we were getting ready to leave. I'm glad we might go back in for a little while, but I'm glad we met you. If you study, here's the Lutheran church. Here's the EFCA church. Here's God's truth. You got to keep going.
I get it.
And don't live comfortable, and you're going to lose everything to follow.
Before we leave, what's your favorite verse in the Bible?
Oh, you can.
You got to have one.
I don't have one. Okay, maybe one that really leans toward is 2 Corinthians 5:21. Christ, who knew no sin, became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. I love that verse because I was the worst of the worst, a sinful man, and Christ died.
Say it again. Corinthians what?
2 Corinthians 5:21. Yeah. And I love that verse, but here's what I get righteously angry about it, because American Christians trample it, and they'll say, Jesus died for me, he's my righteousness, and they live in sin and worldliness, and they promote the Packers, and they promote carnality, they promote pride, they promote worldliness, and they say, well, we're all sinners, Jesus died for me. Well, I have a question. Didn't Jesus tell us to repent from sin? It's part of that gospel. Is there any sin you can't stop from doing?
No. Where have you guys been? All over the U.S.?
All over the U.S. We haven't gone out of the country yet
because
I think as America goes, the world's going to go. I think America is a linchpin to the world. Yeah. And so I think there's no better place I could preach the gospel. And people say, why are you preaching in America? We're a Christian nation. I said, you can't be serious. Politics. The churches are involved in politics. George Washington was a heretic deist.
Look at Germany.
George Washington was a deist. Thomas Jefferson, I preach at Mount Rushmore, he took his Bible and he cut the words of Jesus out. He took the words of Jesus out of his Bible. Thomas Jefferson was an antichrist. He didn't believe Jesus was God.
Right.
And we lift him up. So all of these things, patriotism, that's an idol before God.
Right.
And so when you test, we have a 10-point test on our website that will help you see the sin of the EFCA and probably much of your own life. We had to go through this testing. And I know the pain in the process. We lost our careers. We lost our family. We have 7 grandchildren. We get to see only five. None of them are believers. Ready? Get this. Ready?
None of them?
We partied. We partied with our children and got drunk and partied. We became Christians after they were all gone. And our kids are like the world looking at us going, what's wrong with you guys? And we're like, we're born of God. He's transformed us. You got to come out of the world. And they're like, and I have one son who listens. He knows it's the truth. And he's admitted to me. He listens. He never mocks. He defends me to his friends. But he's not living for the Lord. And you know what he said to me? He's like, the cost is too great right now, Dad. He said, I can't. The cost is too great. And I said, don't wait. You might not have tomorrow. You might not have tomorrow. So we do have one that listens, but we only get to see 3 of our grandchildren. But we travel the country. We go all over America. We go to these events. We stand outside religious buildings in peace. You know what they do to us? You think they come out and love on us and open a Bible and say, we want the truth. Let's go to the truth. You know what they do to us? They call the police on us. Peaceful.
Oh, I don't know if ours would.
Well,
they'd invite you in to preach.
Peaceful. What's the name of it? I'm coming.
Evangelical Living Hope in Neillsville.
Living Hope in Neillsville. I'm going to look it up.
Yeah.
Living Hope. I'm going to look it up. And we're peaceful. We're loving. I don't ever go inside. And the reason I don't go inside is because I've had one or two pastors say, you should come inside. And early in my Christian faith, I went inside and I started witnessing and it gets contentious. And then they say, you better leave or we're calling the police. And I'm like, okay, they have power now. I stand on a public sidewalk and guess, I don't need to go in. I stand on the other side of the sign. Guess who comes up to me to talk to me? People. People that might be sheep that want to talk about the truth, they come across. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. And I wouldn't
preach. Because we're comfortable.
Yeah, I wouldn't preach inside there because I want to call people out of there. I don't want to put a seal of approval on that. Because the whole system. Ready?
It's cooler in there.
Huh?
It's cooler.
Sunday's not the Lord's day. Not the Lord's
I
day.
I don't.
Okay,
I know
they
not.
Teach that. Christmas and Easter, throw them out.
They acknowledge it.
Okay, well, but if they call it the Lord's Day, that whole building-centered system with one guy teaching in the pulpit every week and people sitting there listening, that's not the model God ordained. God ordained multiple elders in every city, but then all of us men to use our gifts. Can you imagine if the body was, hey, 50 of us, you can't have 500 people, it would be too chaotic. The average New Testament body, you know how many people were in it? Scholars tell us, less than 50 in the New Testament. Not the temple worship in Jerusalem. Corinth, Ephesians, 50. When you have just 50 people, maybe 4 or 5 families, All the men can partake. Yeah, you got elders to make sure it's all biblical. But what'd you say your first name was?
Bill.
Bill. You know how exciting it would be to show up for church, and I get up and I go, man, I know what I'm bringing. The Lord's put this on my heart. And then after the elders get up and do whatever they do, then I go, I want to share this. And I go, can't wait to see what Brother Bill's going to bring. Hey, Brother John, he was out witnessing. He's going to bring a testimony. It's going to be awesome. The body would be filled with life and the Holy Spirit and moving and feeding and giving you. You got what I need and I got what you need. And my wife has what you need. You have what she needs. But no, and what is it? Hour and a half. We got a pretty much a program. The pastor, you got to get approved to stand in the pulpit, and he needs a seminary degree to do what he has to do. Bible didn't ordain that. Yeah. God's against those seminaries because they teach them many false things.
And we're not like that either.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
How long have you been doing this?
Many years. Been born again for 15.
Oh, 15?
15 years.
Good for you. How old are you now?
15 years. How old am I?
Yeah.
60.
Oh, you're a young guy.
How old are you?
63.
Well, no, I always say to people, you'll appreciate this. I don't know if you took your Social Security retirement yet, but I get these people, and they say, get a job to me. And I go, I don't take people's money. I worked my whole life. I support myself. I said, we sold everything to do this.
People tell you to get a job.
They tell me to get a job. Yeah, because they think, well, you know why? Do you know why? Because the world looks at the church, the Christians, and many of them are money grubbing and want money for ministry. It's true. Well, those buildings need money. Your building system takes 80% of your budget. Salaries, insurance, building, 80%. Do you know what the money in the New Testament body went for? Preaching the gospel and feeding orphans and widows. Look at how different it is. So what I tell people is, I said, no, I do this out of my own savings. But I said, I got 2 more years to go to Social Security. Then I'll get paid to do this. It'll be my own money. And then the government's going to pay me, if it's still there. The government will pay me to do it. And so people tell us all the time, get a job, losers. And I go, no. An atheist down there told me, you're wasting your life. And I said, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, warning my neighbor, has eternal consequences. I said, you're selling T-shirts. I said, that's going to mean nothing in eternity, sir. I said, this means everything. So the churches have given Christ a bad name because there are many people go to church, Bill, and they act one way in church. They dress different in church.
They walk out the door.
The Packers are on. And they watch guys crush each other for vainglory and covetousness. You know that's true. And but football is not consistent with the things of God.
I do listen to Bob Uecker on the Brewers. Because I like it.
That's sports. So, yeah. But anyway, when I would
I
challenge
tell
you.
Who's on the Brewers.
I would challenge you. When your heart and your life is overtaken by the Holy Spirit, you won't sleep good until you're striving for the kingdom of God every day and every aspect of your life. God actually, I have articles on all this. God actually teaches us how to dress. He teaches ladies to cover their heads. I have to bring this up. The Bible teaches that. Go ask your EFCA leaders. Hey, 150, 200 years ago, did Spurgeon, Edwards, Calvin, Luther, how did they teach? They all taught women to cover their heads. Women wore dresses. I'm not doing this to cut you down. I'm doing this to show
you.
I
told you to cover their
heads. No, I'm doing this to show you your need. Jesus said he loved the man and he rebuked him. Do you know what rebuke means? It's such a bad word in the culture. You're rebuking people.
Most people don't know what it means.
It means correct. So if you're driving down an icy road, you're going to go over a bridge, I'm going to go, Bill, no, don't go that way. You're going in the wrong direction, Bill. I care for you. Turn. Don't rebuke me. You die. Rebuke is correction. Jesus said we should do it. So we stand in the way of the broad road, and we want to ruin people's day.
I get it.
From carnality and flesh and make them think of eternity.
That's why they go to the other side, because they don't want to hear the truth.
Yeah, and most of them don't. And you stood and listened to it, so I have some hope for you. But your fruit will be known. You will have to come out of the EFCA to fully obey God. Otherwise, you're worshiping God in vain. And you stand outside of it. I want to leave you with this. Here's my encouragement to you. You've been going there 7, 8 years. Mm-hmm. You tell everybody you're spiritually connected to. Because I'm sure you email people and they look after you if you don't show up. You tell them, say, you know what? Don't even tell them what. Say, something happened to me. I got challenged this weekend. We're taking a break from Sunday religion. Don't worry about us. We're not going into the world. I'm going into the scriptures with my wife. I don't even care if you don't go to my website. It would help you, but don't even go there if you don't want.
I won't be there.
Well, okay. Go into the scriptures. We're going to the scriptures, pastor, all of our friends. We won't be in communication. Don't go to your pastor because your pastor is going to water you down. He's going to pour water on your fire because he ain't got it right yet. He's going to tell you, we're going to look bad if you leave, Bill. Go with God, the Word, the Spirit. Take a month or two off. and go into the scriptures, and I promise you, if you do that.
I'm in there every day.
Oh, but it's not enough to read, but you got to study.
You got to understand.
And then you have to obey it and apply it. And so once you apply it, you're going to see that that Sunday is not the Lord's day, that ritual system, that they're feminized, they're worldly. You can't be mingled with the world, Bill. You got to come out of the world. You become a Noah in your town.
I'd have to get rid of all the Sunday buffets we have. I can't do that either.
You got it. You know what? Have it with true saints. Invite us to your house when you're a true biblical saint, and we'll have a buffet, and we'll break bread together, and we'll study the Word. You email me, and I'll study the Word with you. And my offer to you is, if you ever do go to my website and you start reading it, if you find anything I've said or you read that isn't true, you email me, and I'll give you my cell phone. I'll give it now if you want it. Call me, and we'll go over it. Because, see, I got no truth. I got nothing. Take the sign away. Take the Word of God away. I'm like, people are real saying, I got nothing. I got the eternal Word of God. And so I will stand on the Word of God. You could stick a gun in my face and threaten to kill me, and I will not back down until you open the scriptures and show me my fault, and I'll say, I'm wrong. And if you show me any fault I teach, I'll repent.
I haven't heard anything.
I'll repent publicly on my website, because this is not about me. This is about Christ. And he said, you must worship in spirit and truth. The EFC is not that. Lutheranism was not that. My life before Christ was not that. We must conform to his ways. And I know I said last thought. How many sins did it take for Adam and Eve to get thrown out of the garden?
Yeah, one.
How many sins? You're a nice couple. How many sins did it take in Acts 5 for God, after the grace of Jesus Christ had come, to kill Ananias and Sapphira? One lie. One sin that you hold on to is the sin that's going to destroy you. Everything else we lay at Jesus' feet and forsake it, and he cleanses it. So go deep. I'm there to help you.
I like your thinking.
I love you.
Yeah,
we care for your souls. Thank you for listening. And can I say something? I don't get to do this very often.
Can I say it?
Yes, let my wife say it.
I'd like to compliment you on being quiet. You wouldn't believe how many women talk over.
Yeah. How many wives would not let us have this conversation, and they'd rip into me, and I'd say, ma'am, can I just talk to your husband? Because the Bible does say...
What are they ripping into you about?
That they don't like what we're teaching. He's teaching garbage. The Bible teaches when men talk, the women are to be silent. The Bible actually teaches that. And she's living up to that. And I tell men, there is a Baptist pastor down here. And I'm talking to him. He got in my wife's face like this. And I said, sir, please don't get in my wife's face. He goes, well, what? I said... He goes, why can't she give an answer? I said, the Bible says she's not supposed to teach or rebuke men. Paul clearly teaches that. 1 Corinthians 14, 1 Timothy 2. And then I said this to him. I said, but if she could, I said, she knows the Word of God as well as I do, because we study together. I said, she would shred you in your Baptist faith with the Word of God. And he kind of backed down. They get right in my wife's face. The other day, a man spit on my wife. She doesn't preach. She stands with a sign.
Somebody spit on her?
Spit on her. I've had men get in her face and call her a C-U-N-T. And so these are the, even churchmen. Hey, ready? I got beat up outside a Baptist church on the public sidewalk. They stole my phone and my gospel signs. Their security guards beat me up. I'm not lying to you.
This is at a church.
I'm telling you, go look at some of my street preaching videos. I got hundreds of them on the website. You'll find it. And you'll see, they call the police on us. We were just at one not long ago. We're on a public sidewalk. And the pastor came out and he goes, I'm calling the police on you. I said, do we look dangerous? We're calling the police on you. But that's the last of their problem. Don't go to your pastor. Go to the Word of God. Get it from the source. Get it from the Spirit. If my website can help you to test it, do that. And get yourself. You must become a Noah. And you may have to stand alone in your town for the glory of God. And if you're not willing to do that, you're not of God.
Oh, really?
You're not of God. So you got to become a Noah, and it will cost you. How many people go to your church roughly on a Sunday? 200? 500?
No, it's small town.
Okay.
Very small.
50?
There's probably 100.
Okay. So if there was 100 people in there, and if I showed up and preached a biblical gospel, I would be amazed and be rejoicing in God if one said, could we talk more? That's how few...
Oh, I think you'd be surprised.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Yeah, well, we didn't walk away, did we?
Few is few. No, you may be the sheep. And if there's more, my promise to you...
They are.
If there's more, my promise to you is we will come and we will be their best workers. We will. Right here.
Why do you think so many people are so uncomfortable being able to talk about this? Is it because we're just getting further and further away from the truth?
There's a lot of things.
But if you had to pick one. this, biggest one.
What we're talking about is the kingdom of God. They all love the kingdom of Satan. That's this
they
culture.
They love the world.
The world. That's the kingdom of Satan. So you obviously have some type of love for the kingdom of God. You see true representation of it. And so you come to it. The reason the Bible says is they've been dimmed in their darkness. Go read Romans 1. Many people have been turned over. Look what we have in this culture. You know, the judgment, 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9, it says, Christ is coming in flaming fire. Do you think he's a long-haired feminist guy that overlooks sin? No. He's coming in flaming fire to destroy all those that don't know God, and it goes further, and don't obey the gospel. Obedience is part of our salvation. You're not saved by faith alone, grace alone. Not one Bible verse says that. They will tell you that. You're saved by faith through grace that calls you out. The reason the world hates it is they love their sin. Read Romans 1. It says that God has turned them over. America has already been turned over. When drag queens are entertaining toddlers, and 90% of the people I talk to will defend that. They will defend that. America's been turned over. So there is no hope for America. There's hope for you and your wife to come out of her. She's the Titanic going down. Did you hear about those five guys that died on itself? Tragic,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
For vainglory, they're going down.
I get it.
America's the Titanic going down. Don't be pumping water trying to save her. Get your wife to a lifeboat. Help those to a lifeboat that'll come out and glorify God from that lifeboat. She's going down. And that's why I retired early to do this. And we always rejoice in God because every day we go preach. You know this, Sister Amen. I call her my sister because she's my sister in eternity.
What's your first name?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen means faithful in Hebrew. And I changed my name. My name used to be James. But James was a worldly party fighting drunken guy. And every time I heard the word James, I'm like, that reminds me that I changed my name. Actually, my wife gave me my name. She said, I'm going to call you a different name. She started calling me Tupos, and I took it. My brothers call me Tupos. In 1 Peter, he said, let us be an example to the flock. And Tupos means example in the Greek. And it's like a machine that stamps out parts. Every single part is exactly the same. Yeah, so I want to be an example. But to answer your question, God turned over America already. The judgment's already here. And the very few sheep, 8 came off the ark out of millions. 3 came out of Sodom and Gomorrah out of tens of thousands. I just preached this down the street. 2 came out of 600,000 men out of Israel, out of the desert. The rest were rebellious and sinful. Take the same statistics. You look like a smart math guy. Take 600,000 to 2. Jesus, when he said few in Matthew 7 will find eternal life, was a prophet of the Old Testament. Few. Take 600,000 to 2. Take 330 million Americans to the same percentage. It's about 1,200 people.
That's pretty sobering reality, isn't it? Listen, we're going to go.
Judgment's coming.
But
we love you.
God bless you.
Thank you so much for listening. You have my email. Email me. I'll get your cell phone if you want. I'll study with you. I'll give an answer. And if the day comes and your pastor says, this is what I ask of you. If your pastor ever gets a hold of who I am, I can promise you 99% of them, maybe not yours. Oh, they're a cult. They're workspace. They're legalists. You don't have to do all that. Don't let anybody say anything about me that they wouldn't say to my face. And you say, wait, you say, hey, I'll get this guy on the phone.
They're like a mirror.
He said, well, I'm going to look at, what's your pastor's name?
Steve.
Steve what?
Steve Wentz.
Steve Wentz. I'm going to look him up.
W-E-N.
I'm going to look him up. And I would offer and ask people to come to me and then let us talk, let us reason in the scriptures. So far, I want to pour gas on your flame for God. Well, hopefully that's what you've seen me do. And I don't want your money. I don't want nothing from you. We don't take anything from people. But here's what I want to do. I do want to pour water on your hope for the church systems by telling you this. I do want to pour water on that because I don't want you to overhope. I've been doing this for 15 years. I've dealt with thousands of pastors, face-to-face, email, phone call. Ask me how many I know that I've showed them the sin of their system, that the ones even admit it. They go, yeah, Christmas and Easter.
You've had to admit a couple out there that were...
Ask me how many have repented and have the fruit, having changed their ways to no longer do that which they even agreed is sin and not of God. Ask me how many out of thousands.
Is it less than 1%? I guess so. Listen, brother, we're going to go.
I love you.
Love you too. God bless you all.
Thank you. God blesses those who obey him. You strive. Contact me. Love to hear from you. If I got something wrong, I got to know about it.
You're 100% so far.
Seek the kingdom of God. We love you. God be praised.